Second and 15. Terrible pass is picked off by Clinton Dix. And he's dragged down by Leno at the 40. That was nowhere near a Bear receiver.
Welcome back to Download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, I got to be honest. I'm not sure that I'm emotionally ready to talk about last night's Packer-Bear game. One of the worst, and they keep getting worse. I don't know what's wrong with the Chicago Bears. Adam Hogue joins me, as he does after every game, to talk football. This is really not our Monday evening quarterback. It's our Friday evening quarterback. Adam Hogue, of course, covers the Bears for WGN Radio, wgnradio.com/Bears. Great piece about Trubisky up today. Adam, how am I supposed to feel here? I just feel, as a fan, dejected and demoralized.
Well, I don't blame you, and I don't blame fans for feeling angry. It's tough to explain to your fan base that you keep trotting out a quarterback that now has 8 turnovers in 12 quarters, and you have the number 2 overall draft pick on the sidelines who has done nothing but look good since he entered your building back in May. And, you know, it's the fans are always going to want the shiny new toy, especially at the quarterback position. But this would be a lot different if Glennon was actually doing what the Bears signed him to do, which was to manage football games, not turn the ball over, and to buy time for Mitch Trubisky. And he's just not doing it. He has not given the Bears a chance to win in 2 out of the 4 games so far. And they have to make a change. And honestly, I think they are going to make this change before the next game against the Vikings.
Will the change be to Trubisky?
Well, it's funny you asked me that question, because there was like a part of my mind this morning that was like, well, maybe the change is just going to be to Mark Sanchez if they really don't think Trubisky's not ready yet. I do think it's going to be Trubisky. I don't know how that they could even make an argument that if they take Glennon out and they don't put Trubisky in, well, then once again, the question I've been asking this entire time, and I even asked John Fox last night, why is Trubisky even the backup then?
Right.
Like, if you're that afraid to play him, why is he even active on game day?
Because, Adam, you could make an argument that last night, regardless of who the backup quarterback is, the backup quarterback should have entered that game after the atrocious performance from Mike Glennon.
Yeah, same thing in Tampa. Absolutely the same thing in Tampa. If it's not Trubisky, then Mark Sanchez should have been in both of those football games. Because what's the point of having a backup quarterback? That you need, at that point, you need somebody to spark the team, something different offensively. The quarterback is just killing you. They've been in 2. They almost beat the Falcons. They did beat the Steelers. And in the other 2 games, they didn't have a chance because the quarterback kept turning the ball over.
Yeah.
He is the problem. They can't keep blaming it on other things.
The other issue for me, and this might be one just, you know, as you get more emotional because of the rival, the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago Bears across the board look to be outplayed and, more importantly, outcoached. You saw this from the offensive coordinator. Tony Romo was up in the booth yesterday calling out the Bears for having Glennon in the wrong system or not playing to his strengths. The defense on the side of the ball kind of let the third-string running back and a couple of backup tackles maul them throughout the game. Special teams, once again, making strange plays. Even down to Danny Trevathan making us the dirtiest team in the NFL. It just seems like everything is going wrong for the Bears.
Yeah, I think what concerns me with the coaching is it doesn't seem to be getting better. I mean, you're still seeing the same clock errors. I mean, Fox lets 8 seconds run off at the end of the first half before calling timeout. It ended up not mattering, but it still happened, okay? And the mistakes, the penalties, they're the same mistakes. False starts, holds. These are fundamentals that at some point do fall on the coaching staff, because those are the things that should be coached out of you.
Not to mention busted coverage, the end zone. I mean, it seemed like every time the Packers scored a touchdown, it was easy. It was like playground.
That's been going on now for 5 years between 2 different coaching staffs, and it's incredibly frustrating because, I mean, it's one thing to just not have good enough players. It's another to not have anybody on the same page and just leave Jordy Nelson wide open for multiple times, not just in this game, but it's like every time the Bears play the Packers that happens. I mean, how does that keep happening? It's really inexcusable, and I am starting to come around on the idea that it's a coaching issue. It's not just a talent issue.
The other issue, Adam, the one that I know is emotional, again, it's hard for me to separate the logical and the emotional. But in the fourth quarter, with about 10 minutes to play, the Chicago Bears embarked on a huge 9-minute drive where they ran the football 90% of the time. It was essentially a white flag. They're losing the game 35-7, or I think at the time might have been 28-7, whatever it might be. But the point being that even in loss, in blowout, they threw the white flag up, and there was something wrong about that. As a Bears fan, I wanted to see more, like, okay, you got your butt kicked, you got your tail slapped, you know, like, but still get up to the line and act as if you are supposed to act in the fourth quarter. The announcers on the national game were perplexed. Once again, it felt like the Bears were trying everything they possibly could to just get off the field.
Yeah, I'm still up here in Wisconsin, and I've talked to a number of Packer fans and some media members that cover the Packers, and they were asking me about that. Like, what was up with the fourth quarter? And, I mean, that was a great drive that Mike Glennon had to, you know, run the clock out as if they were winning the game. I mean, it was like a great 8-minute drive. If you had the lead, that would have been perfect, but they didn't. They were getting blown out. And, you know, Hamp last night on the postgame show on WGN was I thought his head was going to explode, because it's as if the Bears quit.
Yeah.
It's as if the Bears quit. And by the way, that happened in Tampa too, when the Bears had a situation. It was fourth and two at midfield, and John Fox didn't go for it. He punted the ball. To me, that was just raising the white flag. And the same thing happened last night. You score the touchdown. I mean, they weren't going to come back, but why not try an onside kick? What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose in that situation? I don't get it. And then to just run the ball 8 out of 9 plays on that next drive instead of throwing, it was just mind-boggling.
The other issue, of course, kind of mentioned it a little bit, Danny Trevathan with the unnecessary roughness penalty, possibly fined, possibly suspended. The hit was egregious. It was one that – it's a football game, and we understand players, you know, have to make plays. But it did seem like Danny Trevathan, you know, unfortunately, as a Bears fan, I've tried my best to defend it, but it's hard to look to make a play out of frustration that was pretty dirty. Where are we at with that? And the Washington Post had a piece today. Trevathan's name has been thrown over all the national media. Not a great look for the Bears defense.
Yeah, basically, Trevathan has kind of become the national poster child here for the NFL having to make a stand. And it's hard to disagree with. I mean, they have so many times where their player safety rules and then suspensions and fines don't really add up. They seem hypocritical. And if it's going to be as serious of an issue as it should be, and the NFL claims it is, then when a hit like that happens, you have to do something about it. Now, the thing is I cover Danny Trevathan every day. He's not a dirty player.
Right.
I don't think he's a dirty player. And I do think that comes into the equation when you figure out how to handle it. I mean, for instance, you look at that Marian Hossa hit with the Blackhawks a few years ago when Rafi Torres took him out, equally egregious. But Torres had a long, long, long history of dirty hits like that.
Right.
He was a dirty player, and the NHL had to crack down on him. And they finally did. I think it was a 25-game suspension. So I don't know that it should be to that type of level with Danny Trevathan, because he doesn't have that type of history. But at some point, the hit happened. You did do it. And the NFL, I think, does need to make a stand here and at least suspend him for one, maybe two games.
Looking ahead, we get a couple Sundays free, which we may, as Bears fans, be looking to do that more often in November and December as well. But the next game will be Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings. Are there any other changes? I thought it was interesting that Coach Fox, in his press conference, didn't do the same. Mike Lennon's our quarterback. He said there will be changes. We'll be looking around, changes at all different places on the team. Beyond just Mike Glennon, are there other changes you see that have to happen for this squad? Guys getting promoted, guys getting demoted?
It's interesting because Fox did say that they were going to be looking at everything. However, I think that was just him kind of deflecting and trying as much as possible to take the focus off the quarterback position. But you brought it up and you hit it perfectly right there, Justin. This is a huge change in tune compared to, you know, how about 2 weeks ago when Glennon was equally as bad in Tampa and John Fox got up to the podium and said, well, he's starting against the Steelers. He said it right after the game. There was not going to be a change. So the fact that he said what he said last night, left the door open to a quarterback change, and then once again today at Hallis Hall did the exact same thing. I think they're definitely contemplating the change, and if they're willing to talk about it, I don't know how you can rationally put an argument together that Glennon should go out there. They might revolt at Soldier Field. And by the way, the Cubs have a playoff game that night at Wrigley Field. Well, we don't know if it's going to be a night or a day game, I guess, at this point. But the Cubs have a home game in the playoffs that day. I mean, no one's going to even come to the game. I mean, some people will show up. But if Mike Glennon's starting, it's not going to go over well. We're just at that point where it's not just from an optics PR standpoint. It's from a football. You can't play Glennon anymore. He's just been that bad. He's a nice guy, and he's a good teammate, and he puts in the work. But he's just not good. He's just not.
Adam Hoge covers the Bears for WGN Radio, WGNRadio.com/Bears, to get his latest podcast, as well as great stuff both on Fox and Akeem Hicks and how long these players are going to stay with the team or stay involved with Mike Glennon as quarterback. I love talking to you, Adam. I'm sorry that this was so emotional.
I understand it. It should be.
All right. Well, have a great trip to, or you're in Wisconsin right now for the Badgers Cats game coming up here on Saturday. But Adam Hoge, thanks for joining us, bud.
Thanks, Justin.